this morning. And we not only honor Levi and Becca and James and Eric and Cameron, but we also honor Jeff and Margie Becker. We also honor Bob and Sherry Clark. We also honor Jim and Ann McKinley. We also honor Tom and Shelley Sammons and Tim and Pam Wedge. For our young people, I hope you never, never forget that there are no self-made men and there are no self-made women. I'm reminded of that as I see young people in their teens giving their parents attitude. And I have a 7-month-old and a 2-year-old that could not live without us. Amen? They're not viable. They need everything that we give to them. And young people, your parents have sacrificed so much to bring you to this point. And it's a great day. Amen? It is a great, great day. Looking at our Bibles in Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah is a wonderful book of the Bible. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. However, do not get the idea that Jeremiah was some sort of a wimp or a sissy just walking around crying all the time. He had deep sorrow for the people of God and their sins because God had revealed to him what was about to happen to them. We could say this, Jeremiah had a shepherd's heart. Someone had said of Jeremiah, he preached with the thunder of Sinai and the compassion of Calvary. And every time I read my Bible through in a year, I come usually in about August, if I'm reading through consistently 3 chapters a day, I come to this blessed verse in Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at verse number 11. It's literally like a cup of cool water in a dry desert. When you're reading through the book of Jeremiah and it's judgment, 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 and all of a sudden you read verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What a tremendous verse of Scripture. What a tremendous passage of Scripture. In particular, I want you to look at the last phrase here, those last three words, an expected end. That's our title this morning, an expected end. Expected is the Hebrew word. It's the word, it's pronounced tikva. It's a thing hoped or a thing longed for. Those of you that know your literature, you know Charles Dickens wrote a book called Great Expectations. And it's a book about a boy who has nothing early in life, but is full of hope that something good will happen to him. It means hopeful conclusion. Hopeful conclusion. Everybody wants to know how the end is going to turn out. I don't know how many of you have, but some of you, as you read through the novel, start out in chapter 1, and you read chapter 2, and you read chapter 3, and all of a sudden you're getting intense. The novel is just getting to you, and you go to the back of the book, and you almost kind of look this way and that, but you can sit and look at the back of the book.
I remember when I first got saved, the first book I ever read, Brother Meyer, was Revelation. And boy, was I messed up after that. 10 kings and crowns and horns, and I had no idea what was going on. I wanted to see how it turned out in the end. I think we all have that in us. I heard the story of a Persian general, and he had this habit of giving his captives a choice. He would give them a choice between two things. On one side, there was a razor-sharp axe and an executioner. Literally, no pain, no fuss, no fuss. They could simply die in his hands. And on the other side, Brother Jenkins, there was a gigantic iron door. And he said, you can either have the executioner or you can have the iron door. And over and over and over, people would choose the executioner. Over and over. So one day, finally, one of his subordinates asked him, they said, sir, what is behind that gigantic iron door? He said, freedom. But they never choose it.
They're too afraid of the unknown. And aren't we that way, ladies and gentlemen? We're afraid of the unknown. Listen to me. God, listen to me, especially graduates, for everyone in this room, God desires to bless you. God desires to give you good things. God desires that you have, as Jimmy Stewart says every Christmas, a wonderful life. God desires that for you. But we get so afraid of the unknown. What's it going to be like? What's going to happen? Am I going to have to go through this? Is everything going to be all right? I want you to notice, by way of an outline today, God encourages us here in this text. I want you to notice, number one, the difficulty. The difficulty. You say, what's the difficulty? Well, the captivity. You say, what is that, Pastor? Well, here we go through the period of the kings, and if you read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, you know that there was once under Saul and under David and under Solomon, there was what was called the United Monarchy of Israel, where Israel was all together. Then Solomon passes off the scene, and Rehoboam and Jeroboam come, and Rehoboam becomes the king of the southern kingdom. Judah and Benjamin and Levi, and then the rest of the tribes go with Jeroboam. And from that time on, you have what's called the divided monarchy. And Israel, the northern kingdom, falls in 722 BC to Assyria. And Judah takes a little longer. It falls in 586 BC to Babylon, and they're carried away in 606 BC. And it was carried away captive. You want to know why? I'll tell you why God allowed Judah to be carried away captive. For 490 years, they did not keep the Sabbath. God commanded every year, every 7 years, you were to let the land rest. By the way, farmers will tell you that in the Bible. But the Word of God tells us it was a command of God. So for 490 years, they did not observe the Sabbath of years. Listen to what God said. He said, 6 years shall thou sow the field, Leviticus 25, 3 and 4. And 6 years shall you prune the vineyard and gather the fruit. But in the seventh year, it shall be a Sabbath of rest on the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field now, neither prune thy vineyard. So here, Judah is carried away for 70 years. Does somebody very, very quickly tell me what 70 times 7 is? 490 years. Listen to me, young people. Eventually, God gives everything to you. You don't die? God will get it. Amen. God, listen. You know, I've seen it. I've seen people where they literally come out and have flat tires. Oh, my car went bad. It cost me $600. Well, what was your time? Well, I hope $600. Say that's a few weeks' time. Listen, God gets what we owe Him. And here, the children of Israel thought that they were getting away with it. Hey, we'll sow, we'll make some extra money, it doesn't matter. Listen, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. They disobeyed God, and now it's coming. Can you imagine? We mentioned this in last week's message, but can you imagine waking up every morning in a land that's not your own, and being slaves or subordinates to somebody else? In America, in 2010, I want to just tell you something. No matter how hard you try, you can't imagine that. You just can't imagine what that is like. But here they were. So there was difficulty. The captivity was part of the difficulty. Another part of the difficulty was the confusion. Look at verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. Look at verse 8. It says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts," the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, "let not your prophets and your diviners be in the midst of you, that be in the midst of you, deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which cause you to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You see, the false prophets would come and they would say, hey, don't worry. Listen, God didn't really mean what He said about you be here 70 years. God's not a God of judgment. He never judges. He's just a good God. He's good all the time. God wouldn't punish you. God wants you to be rich, and God's going to bring you back to Jerusalem, and God's going to give you everything you want. God said you're going to be in the land for 70 years because of your sin. That's what He said. Now, we're going to see that he does have good things in store. But He said about these false prophets, He said, don't listen to them. They're liars. Can I tell you that, listen, I don't have cable, but some people tell me about the things that are on the quote-unquote Christian network. Can I tell you there's a lot of liars on there? There's a lot of people that are lying. See, there's people that claim they have the gift of healing. You know, if you have the gift of healing, Brother Pipko, strut your stuff. Go down. If you got the gift of healing, take off that $10,000 Armani suit that you're wearing and go on down to the Children's Cancer Ward and strut your stuff. See, they're liars. There are people that come along and they lie, and they lie, and they lie, and they lie, and they lie. And just like in Jeremiah's day, they cause confusion and heartache. Because that's what happens when lies are believed. And I imagine there were some people that said, we're going to get out of here. I know any day now we're going to get out of here. God said, no, 70 years you're going to be here. Just think about that. Our young people that are graduating, if the captivity started when you were there, you'd be 88 when you got out. Brother Horsch, you're not going to make it out of the captivity if that's you. You're going to live here in Babylon, and that's going to be the end of your life. Many of us, I would be, 108 if I made it out. Only young people are going to make it. So there's the captivity, there's the confusion, and then I think saddest of all, we notice there's the cause of their troubles. This is sad. The cause of their troubles. This microphone is driving me crazy here. Probably because I stuffed it in my pocket. Probably driving you crazy too. Sorry about that, Brother Dave. Amen. There we go. You know what the cause of their trouble was? Boy, this'll get you. Look at verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Verse 14. Look about halfway down. It says, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you out, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. What was the cause of their captivity? What was the cause of their difficulty? God judged their sin. And I want to tell you something. Young people, listen to me and listen well. You'd be a whole lot better off walking away from Satan's bait than you would be struggling on the hook the rest of your life, and all God's people said. You see, this is where people who are liberal about things like drinking, and they say, well, it's okay if you take a social drink, and it's okay if you have a little bit of drink. No, 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 no. It's better never to touch liquor than to end up being a drunk. It's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better. And here they were in difficulty. Why? Because of their sin. Can I tell you that's a hard place to be? I've been with people on their dying bed. I've been with people who struggled with emphysema, and they said, you know why, Pastor? I smoked for 55 years. That's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be. But what you sow, you reap. It's a law of nature, and it's a law of God. What you sow, you reap, and you always reap more than you sow. How about the drunkard whose liver is failing? How about the adulterer who has a fatal disease? Why? Because of sin. And I'm going to tell you this. And some of you know what I'm talking about here. It hurts when you know it's your fault. It hurts when you know it's your fault and you can't do anything about it. And here they were. They were in difficulty. But I want you to notice something else. God, not only is there difficulty, God gives them some direction. And I like this. In verse 5, the first piece of direction He gives is to number one, to settle. He said, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. You say, what do you mean they're settled? He said, I know, God says, listen, I know that your sin and my judgment has caused you to be carried out of the land. But again, as we said before, if you're in your 40s now, you're not going back to Jerusalem, so settle. I don't mean settle like we would think of compromise. It means settle down. Get your roots down. Settle here in Babylon. Build a house. Plant a vineyard. Settle. You know what? Listen to me, young people. God plants us where He wants to. And you know what He wants us to do? He wants to settle. He wants us to settle down. Get our roots down. Listen, I don't know. I don't know what God would have for you, James. Cameron, I don't know what God would have for you. But I know He wants us to be settled. Even in the midst of difficulty, He gives us the direction to settle. Something else He says, not only to settle, but succeed. The end of verse 5 says, plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And God may say something like this, listen, I know that the soil in Babylon is not like the promised land. You may have to work a little harder. Maybe you have to till it a little bit better. But I want you to plant and I want you to succeed. You know, Babylon was a godless empire. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king. And it was not a place that was conducive to worshiping God. Can I tell you something? And we had a patriotic message last, but I love America. I'm a flag-waving patriot. Matter of fact, I drove by the corner of my house today, and my flag is waving in the tree from the storm last night. I didn't realize what happened. We went by and said, look at that, our flag is hanging in the tree, amen, as we were making our way to church. Listen, I love America, but I don't love what America has become. I don't love the fact that the public schools can distribute condoms without parental consent, but we can't even have the Ten Commandments listed in schools. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that pornographers enjoy expansive First Amendment rights while children in a nativity scene are said to be violating the First Amendment. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that 1.5 million babies will be murdered this year in our country under the guise of the Constitution, the 14th Amendment. I don't like that. Listen, I don't like that. I don't like that the fact that someone can literally milk taxpayer dollars to bring a lawsuit to the Supreme Court, which lost 8-0, by the way, to remove the words under God from out of the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't like what America has become, but you listen to me. God's not through with America. God wants us to succeed. God wants us to keep praying for America. God wants us to be salt and light in America in a dark place. God wants us to try to keep winning souls. And by His grace, I'm going to try to lead and raise my family for God. Be that salt that prevents the spread of corruption. Be light that dispels darkness. But God's telling them not only to settle and to succeed, but in essence, and look at verse 7, to start over. To start over. It says in verse 7, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. In essence, God is saying this. You had a house. Now you'll have to build a new one. Amen? He's saying, I know you had a garden. Now you have to plant a new one. I know you had a city, but now you'll have to pray for the one that you live in. Listen to me, young people. You're never too old to turn to God and to start over. Aren't you glad for the fresh starts God gives us? Amen. When we mess up, when we disappoint God so, and He gives us a fresh start, He's saying to them,
Here you are, you're in captivity, but you can start over. Hey, maybe you're here today and it's a message for the graduates, yes, but maybe your life has been wrecked by sin. Maybe you've had your cherished plans dashed. Maybe things have not gone the way that you think they should. Maybe you've been a victim of a divorce. Maybe you're a child of a broken family. Maybe you live in a home where God is not honored. You can start over. You say, I'm a teenager and God is not honored in my home. It doesn't always have to be that way. One day you'll be 23 and you'll have your own home and you can decide that God will be honored in your home. You say, you can start over. God gives us that privilege. Again, most of the children of Judah were not coming back. They had to start over. Make the best of a difficult situation. The difficulty, the direction. And then we see the devotion. I like this. We see the devotion from God and devotion for God. In verse 11, we see devotion from God. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Maybe you say today, I can't take much more of this. I'm about at my breaking point. If this burden gets any heavier, I just don't know what I'll do. I don't think I could go on another day. God here in our text says, I'm thinking of you. I love you. I want to give you good things. All right, listen, I'm seeing the end that you cannot see. You're almost home. Just hang in there. I'll be with you. I'll strengthen you. I'll give you strength for each day. I'm there. I'm there. I promise you I'm there. I got an expected end for you. Peace. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Peace means the Jewish word, the Hebrew word, you know it, shalom. It means safe, happy, and well. My pastor called me from California not long after Luke was born. And both of the boys just happened to be sleeping. Hallelujah, that was a glorious time. Amen. When both of them are sleeping at the same time. And the phone rang. He said, how are those babies? See, because we were there for all those years where we didn't have any babies, and they felt obligated to come up to us and say, hey, you going to have any kids? Are you, you know, you get that, amen. Those of you that are couples, amen, you're married and you're younger and married. Hey, when are you planning on having kids? Just tell them, none of your business, amen. And, but he was always joking about that, and amen. And so I had the babies, and he called me and said, how are those babies? I said, shalom. Safe, happy, and well. You know what God's expected end is, ladies and gentlemen? It's a place called heaven. It's a place that the Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Whew. That's a pretty good expected end, and all God's people said, my goodness. So we see devotion from God, but then we see a devotion for God in verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. Listen to me, young people, graduates, listen to me. God deserves for you to seek for Him with all your heart. It can't just be 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Listen, I understand, and listen, I think everybody here understands when you get working and you have things to do and all that, that time becomes more precious and it constricts, and I understand all that. I wasn't always a full-time pastor, amen? I worked a job and did pastoral work, so I can understand it. But you listen to me, God deserves more than 5 minutes. God deserves more than your head bowed at mealtime. Amen? If you really want to know God and you really want to understand God and get along with God and worship God, you've got to do it with all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. See, there's the difficulty, the direction, the devotion. And then we see some declarations
Or we'd say, how to apply this sermon. What are some declarations? Number one, God will use difficulties to bring you to Him. God will use difficulties to bring you to Him. Whatever that is, tell Him will be done in just a few minutes. Amen. God will use difficulties to bring you to Him. What was the difficulty here? The captivity. To show them that God... You know, there are many times when God brings something difficult into your life to say, hey, wake up. Wake up. We just, in Sunday school, we just studied the story of when Jesus stilled the storm. And the waves were crashing over the boat. And what did they do? They went right to Him. Said, Master, we perish. And what did He do? Peace be still. That's what He'll do. God will use difficulties to bring you to Him. Number two, everybody is in some kind of captivity. There are some here today that you're bound with depression. You're bound with sin. You're bound with fill in the blank. Everybody has some kind of burden that they're carrying that only they and the Lord know about. See, there are some people in here that are carrying heavy burdens, but they don't want you to know it. I don't mean that as a bad thing. Listen, you don't tell your kids when there's too much month at the end of the money, you don't say to your kids, well, you know what, we're not going to have any food. Do you? No. Keep that from them. And there are people in this church, they're carrying burdens, they're in captivity, but listen to me, Jesus Christ is there with you, wants to free you from captivity. By the way, number three, declarations, it does matter who you listen to. Verses 8 and 9, we had the confusion of the false prophets. Amen? False prophets. I said, well, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, if you spend a lot of time in the Bible. It doesn't matter. It's just the spirit of that. And it doesn't matter, listen, if you have standards and things like that. I mean, Pastor Rich asked people that sing in the choir to wear, you know, ladies to wear skirts and fellows to wear ties and all that. You know, it doesn't really, it matters who you listen to. It matters who you listen to. By the way, those that don't have such standards, and I understand where they come from, but listen, we want to have high standards. It's okay to have high standards. It matters who you listen to. I think of the preachers that influenced me early in my life, and I'm so glad they're still in the ministry. They're still fundamental. They're still right down the line. I'm glad I listened to them. It matters who you listen to. Some people will tell you, hey, you can use rock music to bring in a crowd. And they do bring in a crowd. And they sow to the flesh, and they of the flesh will reap corruption one day. So we're not doing it. God says here about the false prophets, don't listen to them. Listen to those that faithfully preach and live by the Word of God. God uses difficulties to bring us to Him. It does matter who you listen to. Something else. God wants us to make the best of unchangeable circumstances. Unchangeable circumstances. You know, I've said a lot, and I can't wait for you to meet when my pastor comes. He may be here in August. Him and his wife have a little cottage not far down the road here in Michigan. They need a vacation. He says, but if I come on vacation, I don't want to preach. But I said, well, tough. Amen. I said, if you're here in my church, obey my authority. He started laughing. After he lost his son, he continued to preach. And he continued to preach. And I remember somebody asked me, another preacher friend of mine, he said, how's he doing? I was very close to my pastor and seeing the death of his son. And he would go out and visit the grave. And he said, how's he doing? He said, how's his preaching? Is he weeping all the time? Is he just preaching on distressing subject? And I said, I didn't know anything to use but a sports illustration, Brother Jared. I said, he's not changed, but he's changed. You say, what do you mean by that? I said, it's kind of like somebody that comes into the majors and they can throw 99 miles an hour. And they just blow it by everybody. And all of a sudden, they have an arm injury. and they have to have a surgery, Tommy John surgery, take a tendon and stick it in your elbow. And now they can't throw 99 anymore, but they can only throw 91. But they learn how to throw a changeup, learn how to throw a curveball. They learn how to strike people out and get people out. You say, there was nothing he could do. He could go to that grave every day and say, I want my son to come out of there, but he wasn't coming out. Listen, God wants you to make the best of unchangeable circumstances. You say, I'm married and in a difficult marriage. God wants you to stay married. Listen to me. Listen to me. We get in this business of this flippancy of divorce. Listen, I'm just not happy. Too bad. God wants you to make the best of unchangeable circumstances. God wants you to make the best of unchangeable circumstances. I'm not talking about where there's a situation where there's violence and all that kind of stuff. I'm just talking about, well, I'm just not happy anymore. Phooey on that. Listen, the marriage is permanent. It's supposed to be. We said we would. Brother Jim and Linda Kelly just told me yesterday, 45 years of marriage. Hadn't always been easy. Amen. Those of you, some of you with 50 and 60 and 25, hadn't always been easy. Listen, God wants us to make the best of unchangeable circumstances. Number four in a declaration, God knows what He's doing. Here in this text, God knew what He was doing by bringing them to Babylon. I'm not much of a person for poetry. I enjoy it. But one of the poems that has always, always stuck with me is by A.M. Overton called He Maketh No Mistake. It's a tremendous poem. Let me read it to you quickly. My Father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know He maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all on Him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. God knows what He's doing. God knew right what He was doing when He planted Israel right there in Babylon. And God knows right what He's doing in your life, where you are, right where you're at. He knows what He's doing. He hasn't made a mistake yet. He won't start with you. Amen. Next declaration, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry because God's in control. I don't think we need to spend much time on that one. Amen. We don't need to worry because God's in control. And the last declaration, focus on the blessings, not the burdens. Focus on the blessings, not the burdens. I think that Israel needed to know that. Judah needed to know that as they were there in captivity. Hey, you know what? We've been able to raise a family here. We've been here now 20 years. We've been able to raise a family. Look at these vineyards that have grown. God said they would. God said we'd have a house. We've prayed for the peace of the city and we have it. You know, there are times, and I thank you for those of you that pray faithfully for your preachers, for me, for Pastor John. There are times when a pastor's life is so burdensome. When people come to you and say, Pastor, I got to tell you something in confidence. And they tell you things that you just can't imagine. And by the way, we're here for that. Amen. If you can't talk to your pastor, who can you talk to? I get burdened down and I get to the point just like everybody does and I start focusing on the burdens and I look and oh my goodness, what about this and that? And what am I going to do about this? And all of a sudden God brings to my mind that sweet Holy Spirit. It says, remember the day you got saved. Remember the day that you were on, you had one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel and you were heading to hell and I saved you. Remember how in those early days I changed your life. I changed the direction of your life. Remember how I gave you that beautiful wife. And I gave you those beautiful children. And I'll tell you what, boy, the burdens start lowering and the blessings start upping. And hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we start getting burdened down, let's get back and count our blessings. Count our blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Graduates today, God wants to give you an expected end. Will there be difficulties? All God's people said, sure there will be some difficulties. God will give you direction if you allow Him to. God's devoted to you. Would you be devoted to Him? And God declares some things. He uses difficulties. It matters who we listen to. We make the best of unchangeable circumstances. He knows what He's doing. We don't need to worry because He knows what He's doing. And He wants us to focus on His blessings, not the burdens. One more time in the text. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected and a hopeful conclusion. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father,